Hi there, I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.
This is a CBC Podcast.
I'm Dr. Brian Goldman. This is White Coat Black Art. Healthcare in Canada faces serious problems. Overcrowded ERs and hospitals, lack of long-term care beds, lack of nurses, family doctors, specialists, and more. To meet those challenges, the provinces are trying different things. BC is boosting pay for family doctors. Saskatchewan is building more urgent care centres and hiring more nurse practitioners. Nova Scotia is investing in virtual healthcare. At a news conference on November 8th, Alberta Premier Danielle Smith announced a radically different approach.
Welcome to a new day for healthcare in Alberta. The current Alberta healthcare system is one that has forgotten who should be at the centre of its existence, patients, and the healthcare experts who look after them. We need to bring Alberta's healthcare system back to its mission of delivering the healthcare Albertans need when and where they need it.
That new day the Premier is talking about means dismantling Alberta Health Services. That's a big deal. Since 2008, the provincial agency and its more than 11,000 physicians and more than 100,000 direct employees have delivered health services to more than 4.4 million Albertans. In its time, AHS was Canada's first and largest province-wide integrated health system. Alberta Health Minister Adriana LaGrange says that's about to end.
We are at a critical juncture when it comes to healthcare in Alberta. As Premier said, we are refocusing Alberta health services so that we can provide a high-functioning healthcare system that prioritizes patient care and empowers our healthcare workers.
The province intends to do that by breaking up AHS and creating 4 separate agencies responsible for acute care, continuing care, primary care, and mental health and addictions. A new transition team will first create a continuing care organization, followed by mental health and addictions, primary care, and then acute care. The restructuring is supposed to take place over 18 to 24 months at a cost of an estimated $85 million. Since the initial announcement, the province has held 5 town halls at which reaction was swift and strong.
The next question is submitted from Kyle, who's listening online. And Kyle says, every government shakes up healthcare in Alberta. Why is this happening again? And what is going to be different about the change this time? The next question is going to come from Jessica.
Hi there. I am curious about what, before the decision was made, what consultation was done with frontline staff? And as a frontline care provider, we are burnt out, and I appreciate that acknowledgement. But I'm having difficulty seeing how adding management and what seems like more bureaucracy will improve burnout and improve staffing levels.
These are early days. We're waiting for more granular details. Still, we're doing a show on this now, because the last major restructuring of healthcare, the one that created Alberta Health Services back in 2008, had a seismic impact on healthcare in other provinces. This one might be just as influential. As Premier Smith said, these changes are being done with patients in mind. The patients we've spoken to aren't so sure.
It's scary. Like, having a degenerative neurological disease is terrifying. Just on its own.
Cam McCormick of Edmonton has MS and is on long-term disability.
The prospect of having to consider whether or not I can navigate this system
while experiencing a neurological condition,
while having neurological events, is just a whole new area of nightmare.
Cam's partner, Krista Houston, has a chronic iron deficiency and needs regular intravenous top-ups to prevent anemia.
When I'm already dealing with like a pay-to-play system and already experiencing major costs, I know this isn't going to get better. It's not going to get better. I mean, that would just, I would be an idiot if I thought that was going to make it better.
The changes announced by the Alberta government are having a strong impact among frontline healthcare providers.
Hi, my name's Paul Parks. So I'm an emergency physician. I've been down in Medicine Hat, and I am now currently the president of the Alberta Medical Association.
Dr. Paul Parks says the announced changes have left Alberta doctors very frustrated. So do you think this is a good time for the government to announce a major restructuring?
I don't think any time is good for a major restructuring. But I think that, you know, I mean, maybe to be a bit balanced and honest, one thing going across the province, there has been a fair bit of feedback from the regional centers and smaller that the system wasn't working as well as it should in terms of getting meaningful input from the local level and being able to implement it. And so there was a lot of frustration with the system. So I think some change is needed. We needed to be able to, you know, change how we're functioning so we can get local solutions and unique things in a little place like Medicine Hat that I function in is different than in Calgary, say. And so we did need some change, but the system's so fragile and it really is tenuous that we have to make sure it's evidence-based, it's balanced, and the change we do ultimately is what's best for patients.
How concerned are you about physicians leaving the province because of this new restructuring?
I think it's a combination of a number of things that, you know, it's not just the restructuring, although that is a bit of a signal where if government's going to act unilaterally, that'll be another thing that'll really...
I'm thinking in terms of the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah.
You listed a whole bunch of crises, including you know, the lack of replacements, lack of recruitment, retention. There, you know, certainly a nursing crisis, COVID, and your members have been working pretty hard, haven't they?
Oh, yes. And they are getting close. Like, I'll tell you, so the nurse practitioner announcement, when they said they're going to just give a whole bunch of money to nurse practitioners to work independent, that was very close. It's not the straw, very close to a straw that will break family medicine physicians' backs in this province, where they're like, they are actively struggling to keep their practices viable with the way our funding model is. And when they see that, and when they see the government go out there and lead with, well, here, we're going to really do this big, huge project for maybe 100 nurse practitioners a year, when there's literally thousands of family physicians in Alberta begging for stabilization and a new funding model, those kind of things, government acting unilaterally and working on projects that they think are important but that don't resonate with the system, those are what I worry about, and that's what our members are getting concerned about. And I think in Alberta, it's a reality that family physicians are voting with their feet right now. There are either some are leaving the province, but others, almost all of them, are fleeing longitudinal family care. We're getting close to that final straw, I would say.
We're talking about this proposed restructuring on a national radio show because we think that Canadians need to hear about what's going on in Alberta. I want your thoughts on that. Why do you think Canadians should care about this proposed restructuring?
You know, hey, it's interesting. I've been thinking about that. And I'll tell you, I think Canadians need to care because I think they need to first off understand that there is a national workforce shortage and a global workforce shortage. So, like, we're really in a weird environment after the last, you know, 4 years or so or more. I think, you know, the pandemic tipped things over in many different ways. Things were teetering. And I think the pandemic probably just exposed everything, and now we're in this environment where the whole entire country is vying for not just physicians but nurses, all allied healthcare workers. And so I think what's important for all Canadians is that we don't want every province to reinvent the wheel every single time. If we can create a scenario where we create a structure like Alberta Health Services, which is pretty unique in Canada because it's a single org, And we can kind of restructure it in a way that brings primary care better, mental health and continuing care better integrated with the acute care system. If we can succeed in this so that then we can build robust teams around our primary care and mental health teams and be a bit more kind of streamlined to how we get our patients into hospital when they're sick and then back out to the community when they have convalesced, then I think the other provinces could learn from that and vice versa. I think what happens in Alberta right now will have a lot of resonance for the rest of the provinces, because if anything, almost all the other provinces are trying to kind of put their orgs together a bit more and have more connectedness in their orgs. And here we are going from one to maybe four. So I think it'll be interesting for us all to learn if do we get this right or do we mess it up.
Paul Park says it's essential Alberta doctors have more say in how the restructuring is implemented. They aren't the only frontline healthcare workers who say they've been left out of the process.
Hello, I'm Heather Smith. I'm president of United Nurses of Alberta, and I live in Edmonton and represent registered nurses and registered psychiatric nurses across the province.
Heather Smith is president of the United Nurses of Alberta. The union says the changes don't address the principal crisis that concerns most nurses: chronic understaffing and overwork caused by nursing shortages. That's not the only thing that concerns frontline nurses. You urge the health minister to refrain from going ahead with the restructuring. I want to know why that is.
We consider restructuring a very destabilizing initiative activity, and we are so desperate to retain the workforce we have, to keep things stable so that we can recruit within and outside of the province, that nurses in this province, and I suspect other provinces, the last thing they need is more instability in their workplaces and instability with respect to retaining and recruiting.
So I gather then that you think that the government's plans would have an adverse impact on the cohort of nurses that are practicing in Alberta right now. Have I got that right?
Yeah, well, and there's two major concerns. One is concern about our efforts to stabilize and move forward in terms of workforce supply. But the other is the messaging that I believe this restructuring means with respect to not just publicly funded but publicly delivered healthcare in our province.
Now, you've mentioned that the restructuring would be a destabilizing factor. Destabilizing how? What would it do?
We just recently received a letter of communication from Alberta Health Services basically suggesting, as we are about to enter negotiations here, that further changes in terms of mix and numbers and jobs and all that may potentially flow because of the mandate that was handed down on November 8th. We're very concerned that this sends the wrong kind of messaging, both in November 8th and combined with the more recent letter, that this is not a place to consider for newly graduating nurses, men and women who are coming out of schools, are going to look and hear this kind of news and say, I don't want any part of this story, especially when nobody knows what the story is or what the story is going to be. And in terms of the workforce that is here, the messaging around mixed changes in mix and staffing levels will say to people who are low in seniority in this province that they may as well, they should be looking elsewhere in terms of stable, predictable work lives. So, yeah, it's a very alarming and concerning when, we are desperately in need of stabilization, and we don't need further disruption and discouragement and distrust of what's going to happen.
Do you believe that the restructuring, the proposed restructuring, announced restructuring, could compromise patient safety?
Absolutely, particularly if we're not, if we have further erosion and in terms of workforce supply, absolutely. I mean, the number of identified concerns regarding staffing now are, over the top in terms of nurses saying, we're doing our best, but this is jeopardizing and putting patients at risk. So absolutely, anything that further undermines the ability to assure staffing levels is increasing that risk to patients.
How concerned are you that if this restructuring goes ahead, it will contribute to a flight of nurses from the province?
Yeah, I'm very, very concerned. The reason this is also a concern is that undermining our public health care system at this time feeds into an agenda that says the only answer is more private delivery. Public funding, but private delivery. And again, that's the whole concern about the bigger picture that we need to repair. And, you know, workforce is a huge part of it, but there's the whole bigger picture in terms of what kind of outcomes, what kind of healthcare system Albertans should be able to expect and rely upon when they need it.
Heather Smith, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. Better days ahead, we all hope.
We'll be right back.
Okay, don't skip ahead. I'm going to talk to you about climate change. And I know it can get depressing or infuriating, but our show takes a different approach. It's Laura Lynch, and I'm the host of What on Earth, and we're all about solutions and hope. And I promise, no matter how overwhelming climate change might feel, we're with you on the journey to fix this mess. So listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to White Coat Black Art. On our show this week, we are digging into the Alberta government's recent announcement of the most consequential restructuring of healthcare in that province in a generation. The government hopes that breaking up healthcare into four main areas, primary care, acute care, chronic and long-term care, and mental health and addictions, will lead the way to tackling systemic issues like a lack of family doctors and nurses. We asked Premier Smith and Health Minister LaGrange on the show to explain that approach, but they were not available. Our next guest thinks breaking up healthcare into four separate areas may have a detrimental effect on patients.
Hi, I'm Dr. Fiona Clement. I'm at the University of Calgary in the Department of Community Health Sciences. And my area of research is health policy and largely international health system comparisons.
Fiona Clement studies healthcare systems. She says, to her knowledge, the kinds of changes announced by the province have never been attempted before. What was your reaction when you heard the announcement?
Shock, I think. We sort of heard rumors that changes were coming. This government has made no secret that AHS, Alberta Health Services, which is our current provincial-wide system, is not its friend. But I thought that they would break it up into different geographic zones, but keep the different parts of care and the continuum of care, as we might call it, together, which is models that you see in other places where, again, they keep the continuum of care together, but localized to a geographic area. So breaking up across what might be a patient journey from primary care into acute care, back out to primary care, perhaps over to some mental health supports, back into acute care, then out into perhaps continuing care, like breaking up the system along those lines is not being done anywhere and not expected. So quite a shock, I think.
And just to be clear, through your work researching healthcare systems, you're not aware of any other healthcare system taking this kind of approach of breaking apart different areas of care, not geographic areas, but actually different parts of the healthcare system.
That's absolutely right. So every system that I'm aware of is actually moving in the opposite direction towards more integration and more alignment across the continuum of care. And actually, many places are looking to Alberta as a model that could be emulated.
You're right, because healthcare, there are aspects of the healthcare system in Alberta that are the envy of other parts of Canada. We'll get there in a moment. But you heard the announcement, you heard the what. Did they say why they were doing it? And did it make sense to you when you heard it?
Mm-hmm. Well, so the rationale given in the press conference was that Alberta Health Services has gotten too powerful. And, you know, when I'm thinking about policy objectives, and this is something that I teach, so I think about it a lot when I share these kinds of reflections with my grad courses, is the policy objective really should align with, you know, taking society forward and societal objectives. And so knocking Alberta Health Services back a peg doesn't really resonate with me as a reason for making a massive decision in healthcare. You know, I would really like to see an objective more along the lines of improving the patient experience, improving patient outcomes, focusing on care needs of people in a different way, something along those lines. But the idea of, you know, this big of a change being driven by the fact that Alberta Health Services threatens you doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, so that's the prep leading up to the actual announcement. Let's talk about trying to implement this. It seems like a huge task. What do you think administrators are going to have to do to get this up and running, to split this off into the four pillars that we mentioned?
There's a lot of unraveling to do. You know, since 2008, when Alberta Health Services was brought together, they've worked very, very hard to actually integrate systems of care across the province. And, you know, there's a big difference between changing the label on a door from the Calgary Health Region, which existed pre-Alberta Health Services. Just putting a sticker over that says Alberta Health Services is quite different than actual integration across a very big geographically designed healthcare system. And so some of the unraveling that has to happen here goes very, very deep and all the way down to the bedside. So I think even just thinking about who owns what capital infrastructure now, how do systems that had agreements in place with Alberta Health Services to provide care, how does that transition over? What does that look like? Who signs the paperwork to make sure I have pencils at the front desk for patients to fill in forms, you know? So a lot of work.
Do you think these changes were done with the patient in mind?
I don't. You know, on one hand, I think for a patient, you might not actually notice the system changes, I suppose, except that your providers will probably be higher stressed. You might have more coordination to do yourself. But, you know, if you're having a heart attack, you're still going to get taken to the closest hospital, whether that's an AHS facility or a different kind of facility. You as a patient probably wouldn't even know. But I do think that we have lots and lots of evidence that demonstrates every time a patient transitions organizations, it's an opportunity for the patient to fall through the gap, and that there is an increase in the mistakes that are made, information that gets lost, care that is not followed up on every time the patient transitions organizations. And we've just added in a whole bunch more transitions from a patient perspective. So I do think that whilst the system will continue to offer the highest quality care it can at the level of like the patient and the doctor or the patient and the provider, that will not be facilitated or aided in any way by the system. It will be just down to the amazing quality of healthcare providers that we house.
And except that from what you've just said, those frontline healthcare providers are going to be under a lot more cognitive stress trying to figure things out while taking care of patients in a high demand system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the patients may and their families may not know who's in charge and how the administration works and how the system works, but they should be noticing that the changes are meant to reduce emergency room and surgery wait times, improve access to innovative treatments, recruit more staff. How likely are patients to see those benefits in this new system?
For me, Brian, there's a big disconnect between those goals and the things that Albertans are saying they need, like more primary care physician access, more care out in rural areas, lower wait times in the emergency room, lower wait times in general. I don't see how changes like this that are proposed for the system will equate to those things happening. I don't see the connection there at all.
Right now, an estimated 800,000 Albertans lack primary care. I wanted to know how Clement thinks the changes will remedy that.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to. I think it's important to remember that primary care never was Alberta Health Services' responsibility. It always was the responsibility of Alberta Health. Primary care did not fit under AHS. And I don't see how these changes will fix that at all.
So we don't think that there's a lot of scientific evidence for making these switches. Do you think that these changes are political?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, going back to some of the things I teach my graduate students, sometimes decisions are political. It's okay, I think, to make political decisions that perhaps are different than the evidence. But then transparency is crucial in those kinds of process, and communicating the difference between what the evidence says and the political decision-making process is crucial. I think what saddens me about this decision is that it's a political decision that really doesn't feel like it's going to take the health of Albertans forward. It feels, and from what we know in the science, this will sort of take us back. And it's a step forward that no other country is taking when we know integration across the system is so important. This political decision feels very, very harsh.
There is an elephant in the room, and that is privatization. And I'm wondering, from your standpoint, what are the chances that this new way of delivering healthcare in Alberta could lead to more privatization, as some have suggested?
So again, I think important to be clear on our language. So I think definitely this will lead to more private delivery presence. So, I mean, it's been made very clear that in the acute care space, for example, Alberta Health Services will be one provider of acute care, the implication being that there will be others, and those will be private delivery.
Do you see any potentially good things that can happen out of this massive change?
I guess my long pause says a lot. You know, I think having mental health and addictions specifically called out in a care design could be a good thing. And I hope that that leads to more innovation and more providers in the mental health and addiction space. That's all I can come up with.
I recall that when Alberta Health Services was created in 2008, it was a model that was studied and in many cases copied by other parts of Canada. How likely is it that the rest of Canada will once again look to Alberta as a leader with this reorganization?
I think it's extremely unlikely. I think it's much more likely that they'll be looking to Alberta as an opportunity to recruit now. I think
you mean to recruit providers from Alberta to their
absolutely
region.
Absolutely. Like, you know, the timing is right for those campaigns to get launched. I think people just perhaps need an invitation. And then the other, I think it's sort of like watching a train wreck, just watching to see how bad it is. I don't think we'll be upheld as a model.
Those are sober words. Fiona Clement, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Brian.
As I said near the top, we only have the broad outlines of how Alberta intends to restructure healthcare in that province. They say they intend to consult widely with stakeholders about next steps. The people we spoke with hope they intend to listen. That's our show this week. Our email address is whitecoat@cbc.ca. If you like this episode, please give us a rating and review wherever you listen. This week's episode was produced by Stephanie Dubois with help from Samir Chabra and Isabel Gallant. Our digital producer is Ruby Buiza. Our senior producer is Colleen Ross. That's medicine from my side of the gurney. I'm Brian Goldman. See you next week.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.